So Tua did speak today to the media. We'll pass on some of the things he had to say, and very positive about Michael Penix Jr., and why wouldn't he be? It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we'll get you caught up on what's going on around the NFL, including another arrest that could affect the Green Bay Packers. We've been worried about the situation with James Pierce Jr. It looks like that is going to get itself resolved if he handles his business. And we'll give you the latest on that. Today, Coach Stefanski saying there is no update. They are in communication with both parties. That is, of course, James Pierce Jr.'s attorneys and the league. But as far as the team is concerned, they're waiting for more information to come out, which basically tells us maybe they're waiting on the NFL, Mike, to make that call to say, hey, this is where we're going.
Again, I know we use Rashee Rice's thing because that's the most recent high profile involving a guy that's, you know, in the prime of his career. He did not go to court, and so the NFL did not suspend him. Once he went to court, then he got suspended. So incident happens in the spring of 2024. He gets to play in 24 now because our man has had his meeting with the prosecutors. And again, they said 6 months. The state of Florida said, no, we'll make it a year, right, that he's got to keep his nose clean.
That's correct.
And, you know, again, if he tests positive for weed or anything like that, then he's screwed. So he's got to walk the line. Will the NFL wait for all that, or will they simultaneously? See, most people say, well, why don't the NFL suspend him now? And then eventually, if he's keeping his nose clean for 6 months or whatever, I mean, is the NFL going to put him on ice for a year?
No
way. This plays out. I can't buy that.
And especially if these charges are dismissed.
Right.
That's the other part.
And the other thing is, again, as bad as it looked, and we know we're not trying to make excuses, it looked bad. The fact that Rekia Jackson's on board with this and her legal team, you would think that boosts his argument.
Yeah. They're trying to put this behind him. And that's helping James Pierce Jr. hopefully put this behind him as well. A couple of quotes from TUA.
What your boy saying?
Well, the first thing is he was talking about a fresh start being beneficial for everybody. When he was asked about being here and, you know, coming here, and obviously everybody wants to know the reasons. Everybody just says, well, you know, Miami's still paying you. They're paying you all that money. You became a cheap option. He says, I think a fresh start can be beneficial for everybody. When asked about Matt Ryan being out on the practice field every day, he said, yeah, they've been out here every day, and I think it's beneficial for us to be able to have a guy like that along with the coaching staff out here to help us. Mike, as far as the goal for 2026, he says to win a Super Bowl. That would be amazing, whether I'm the guy or not. And that's Tua, because he understands, Mike, he may not be the guy, right? And even if I'm not, I'm probably going to be on this team. I want to see the team do as best as possible. You said it to me. What does he think about Zachariah Branch? He compared him to?
Jalen Waddle.
Quick. Twitch, guys, that's what he's saying. He's a guy that can get you. You can hit a 5-yard out with this guy, and he'll turn in a 60-yard touchdown. So that's what we need. We need, Mike, heavy hitters.
Right.
We need big explosive play guys. It's something this offense has been lacking. So for Tua to say that and have worked with Waddle, obviously the cheetah, he knows what that looks like.
And I like what he's saying about Michael Penix Jr. He's keeping it above board. Like, we all saw it last year at camp. And we talked about that famous brawl with Tennessee, and Penix Jr. is in the heart of it. And everybody's like, that's my quarterback. Yeah, he's a leader. Guys like him.
Yep.
He's got all the intangibles. We're just talking about, can he put it together on the field? You know, he's got everything you want from your quarterback. That's why he was a captain at Washington. And that's why part of the reason why, you know, the GM drafted him back when he did.
Yeah. I don't expect, and I don't think anybody who, if you're an Alabama fan, think about this. When Jalen and him were at Alabama, you didn't hear either one of those guys say anything negative. As a matter of fact, Jalen, to me, Mike, played it the best when he got benched and then ultimately left and went to Oklahoma and still, you know, and now he's a Super Bowl champion. The point is, I don't expect Tua to say anything negative, to do anything negative towards Michael Penix. That's not beneficial for anybody, guys. He is a Falcon. Mm-hmm. He has to do his job and try to help us win. And whatever that's going to be, I like the fact that he answered those questions.
Oh, you mean with Jalen? Jalen Hurts went to Oklahoma.
Alabama,
right.
Yeah. When they were at
always,
Alabama.
All those things went down. Tua was always like above board.
Respectful.
Right. And he gets it. And now, like I said, someday we'll get before the season starts, we'll talk to our guys down in Miami. Maybe get Armando Salguero on. And the nuts and bolts of why the Miami thing went down. I said, I agree with what you mentioned earlier. I said it a million times. I don't think the coach had a handle on that team.
No, he didn't.
And everything was in play. Now, again, how the quarterback lost his ability to do the things he needed to do, I don't know either. And hopefully a change of address is what Tua said he needed. Well, he's got it.
That's the thing. All right, fresh start for everybody. Let's hope that is the case. You guys can let us know what you're thinking. More with Coach Stefanski coming up as he spoke today, getting ready for, again, the second week of OTAs, just kind of filling in some of the blanks. But he also talked about Matt Ryan's impact, and I thought that was really good as well. All right, Big O, let's get to 4th and 1. Yeah, you know, you hate to see it, you hate to hear it, but Mike, it's bound to happen where guys in the offseason get in trouble. And Josh Jacobs has been released from jail today. He was arrested on several domestic violence charges. Of course, we're talking about the Packers running back. Don't know what the full circumstance of this is, just like with James Pierce Jr. when that all went down. But the bottom line is he is out of jail. He's 28 years old, was booked Tuesday with a variety of charges: battery, domestic abuse, criminal damage to property. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Domestic abuse, disorderly conduct. So we'll see again what happens with Jacobs. But here's a guy that the Packers are counting on, Mike, when the season rolls around, and now they've got to deal with this.
Big-time stud running back. Again, the DA's office has requested additional investigation, quote-unquote. Reason to believe that additional evidence may exist that would impact whether the charges would be appropriate. So they may have overcharged already. You know, maybe you should try it. Don't rush to judgment. We wait and see till all the evidence is collected, and then we find out where it goes. But yeah, right now, the first thing you hear is it's bad. Optics are bad for him and the Packers.
All right, OTAs are going on around the league, guys, which means Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the Patriots, is also there. Mike, did he say anything that you needed to hear today?
Nope. I saw this earlier today on NFL Network. It's a big nothing burger, but just great relationship with his family and his friends.
Personal and private matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did not bring up Diana Russini at all. Why would he? OTAs. Right. But you keep thinking, all right, Vrabel, here's your chance.
Just come clean.
Here's your shot.
Me and Russini were knocking boots since 2019. You're not going to hear that. So, you know, again,
waiting for him to say that wasn't me renting that boat. I was waiting for him to say something like that.
That's a guy that really looks a lot like me and signs his autograph a lot like me on the documentation to rent the boat. Look, at the end of the, I think like anything else, this too shall pass.
Oh yeah.
The Boston media has tried and tried and tried. They're not giving you anything. And Bob Kraft's not going to suspend him. Bob Kraft's not going to sit him down. The big suspension was to miss out on draft weekend. It's over.
Look, they got a really good team. I mean,
and they got better in the offseason.
For what it's worth, right, as much as we despise the Patriots, he's got a really good team. But yeah, I think people were waiting today. Oh, OTAs, here's Vrabel speaking. All right, what's going on? He kept it about his team, and I think that's where he's going to be all season long. This is where the Belichick training comes in, Mike.
Yes.
He will be all about on to the next.
Just getting ready for our next opponent, the Jets. Yeah, and that's the way you do it. And as I said, you know, it's embarrassing, it's awkward. And look, there's a lot of, for all the heat that he's gotten, that people, and we talked about it a lot in the last, because nothing going on, we talked about it a lot. A lot of people say, look, it's embarrassing. It's two consenting adults, you know, as long as their spouses are cool with them and they're trying to repair their marriages and let people get on with their lives. So, but again, it's just the only angle, as we said, it was a weak argument at best that somehow a coach could manipulate a media member into getting his message out to sort of,
yeah.
What team worth their salt? Oh, Russini said they want a number one pick.
We're going to do it.
Come on.
Yeah, it didn't work.
I always had a hard time rolling with that one. Meanwhile, in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson said, guess what?
What'd he say?
This new coaching staff, a breath of fresh air.
Oh, I bet, Lamar.
Everything is just new, basically, besides upstairs, because they put some home improvements apparently on the facility. Coaching staff is just new, and I can say it's a breath of fresh air because everything is just new. So the atmosphere is smooth with head coach Jesse Minter, because Todd Monken, who he didn't like, isn't here anymore. And it seems like him and Harbaugh weren't exactly laughing at the same jokes either at the end.
No, and look, I hate to hear this, because he's making it sound like it was all them and it wasn't him.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lot of the problem. As to why it didn't work. And what's crazy, guys, they won a lot of games. Yes. They won a lot of games. I mean, we're talking about the verge of the Super Bowl with Lamar. He's one of our favorite quarterbacks. Mike and I always talk about, you know, wanting to see him on a Sunday because you just don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
But he was also a part of this. And, Mike, I hope he's not saying, it's great because Jesse's going to let me do whatever the hell I want to do.
Mm.
I hope he's not saying that. Because that's what it sounds like. Harbaugh was like, look.
We need some structure.
Exactly.
And it's like the reports that were out there, it was kind of funny, though. Like, it's almost like the stuff that, you know, Kyler Murray was dealing with. You can't sleep in until like 10 in the morning. You know, you got to get in here and do the work. So whether you're playing, you know, Fortnite or whatever you're doing all night long, I have no idea. Meanwhile, another story. Funny, because I was talking to a bunch of Colts fans. I was tailgating with a bunch of folks at the Indy 500. And they're like, man, we're a playoff team. We had a team that could have done something with Daniel Jones. And obviously, you know, when you got to go to Phillip Rivers at age 50, you know, things are obviously going off the rails. Daniel Jones, for what it's worth, multiple reporters saying he's participating in individual drills. So he's kind of doing the stuff that you got to do off an Achilles, which is worse than what Michael Penix is dealing with. Patrick Mahomes, meanwhile, apparently is ahead of schedule with his recovery.
Yeah, the Chiefs are posting videos of him throwing and all kind of stuff. I'm not saying that we didn't get that from Penix, but it feels like didn't his injury happen after Penix?
Right. Chiefs, right. It was later. It was a few weeks later.
And it feels like, I may be wrong about it, it feels like Patrick Mahomes is further along in his recovery.
Now, Mahomes, for years, was limping at the end of every season because he was taking tons and tons of hits, but he's never had to go through the injury history that Mike's had to go through, and where, Mike, you worry about Mike, and do they have to maybe kind of take extra care because he's already had the other knee surgically repaired. So that's part of it. That's why you can have one knee injury as a quarterback. You can be Thomas Davis as a linebacker and have, like, back-to-back-to-back, and he still persevered, and maybe that's something you would look at for Penix, and maybe he will be able to overcome this.
Yeah, but you mentioned it. I mean, Thomas Davis is like one of one.
Literally,
right, overcome all those injuries he did and still be as great as he was. Hey, Derwin James gets a new deal from the Chargers. 3 years, $75 million extension, making him the highest paid safety for the second time in his career. I only bring this up is because we're about to be in this period, guys, of are you taking care of your guys? If you have a guy on your team and you feel like, hey, that guy deserves an extension, and Mike and I have discussed ad nauseum, Drake London, are the Falcons going to do this before camp? And if you are, then they already, Mike, are working those numbers, and maybe the deal gets announced right before we start training camp in July. But there are guys like Derwin James who are players, and the Chargers are saying, hey, we're not going to wait around. We're going to go ahead and take care of you right now. So they give him a nice little bump. And look, the Chargers are going to be, I think, a Super Bowl contender this year, Mike. I know it sounds crazy because of Herbert and all the stuff. They played last year without both of their starting tackles, and they still were able to almost get there. From the standpoint of being in one of the harder divisions, I just feel like they're going to take a jump. But they're all in on their guys, man. And it makes me wonder, to your point about Ian Cunningham and Matt's philosophy about how they're approaching this year, do you just wait it out?
Look, I love Drake's game, and then consider that Drake's had some mediocre quarterback play. I mean, he had to go through Cousins' up and downs a year ago, and before that, think about it, man. I mean, Desmond Ridder. Ugh. So I'm looking right now at the top 10 highest paid wide receivers for this year. Obviously, Jackson Smith and Jigba got the big payday. He's averaging over 42 mil. The guy who's a comp, he's got 1,000 yards more than Alec Pierce. Speaking of the Colts, Alec Pierce is basically come out to 28. How does 35 grab you? You think the Falcons will go as high as 35? That puts you in the neighborhood of Justin Jefferson and more than CeeDee Lamb.
Ooh.
How about now Garrett Wilson? Now, had they given the contract extension the same time the Jets gave Garrett Wilson, who's in the same draft class, you'd have paid him, he'd be making 32.5, which I think is right where he needs to be.
So do I. Mike, 35 is too high for me, but look, if Drake can get it, get it. Here's my thing. He's not Justin Jefferson. And I don't think he's in that same category.
As CeeDee Lamb.
I mean, so he's a hell of a player, but you're right. And if the agent is going, look, here are the comps, okay, maybe they do get close to that number, but man, I have a hard time seeing. I mean,
you could have locked
35.
Him up. Now, again, you'd have locked him up and then said, "Man, we bought a lemon because he got so injured." Like, I will say this: I don't know how Matt. I would imagine Matt. It's got to matter to Matt Ryan and this group of executives, including Ian Cunningham. He played through a lot of injuries last year, even though he missed as many games as he missed. He was not even close to 100% the final quarter of the season.
No, he's one tough dude, man. We know that. And look, Matt played with Roddy and Julio and. He understands about having those guys on the outside.
And he's a leader, and he's a tough guy, and he runs blocks. He does all the dirty work, and he's got an attitude. I like the – but again, just looking – but still, when you get down to brass tacks, it's about production.
It is.
Regardless of who's delivering – even of who the quarterback is. So, yeah, DK Metcalf's making 33 mil. How about that?
Yeah.
A year.
I know. And that's where I think he is going to be. I think he's going to be 32, 33 per. We'll see if they take care of him. Meanwhile, another contract, Nico Collins of the Texans agreed to a contract adjustment, guys, which is going to guarantee his salary for the next two seasons. So this is another thing teams do. Mike, I'm not going to necessarily give you a new deal, but I'll guarantee more money on your current deal. So he gets $9 million cash increase this season and $8 million cash increase next season for Nico Collins, who I think was a difference maker for the Texans when he was out there.
And Carl's favorite quarterback in the whole wide NFL,
overrated.
Brock Purdy agrees to a contract revision, which throws him a little, by NFL standards, a little extra lettuce, $300,000 to his roster bonus. Going to make $3.55 for the 2026 season with a lot more in incentives, $35 million. So, I mean, he's making million. Dady, I think your decimal point is off by one. $35.5 million. Big difference.
Overrated, Mike. Yeah. Hey, man, coming up, we got to talk about the worst defensive line in the NFL. And this hits home. It's Dukes and Bell. How are we on the list? How Are we on the list? That's what I want to know. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. Because everybody's just looking at certain numbers, and I think they're forgetting how good this D-line was last year. Now, look, let me put this in context. SB Nation, love them or hate them if you want to, say that the Dolphins have the worst wide receiver room, worst tight end room, worst DB room in the NFL. But we're on this list. The Atlanta Falcons is having the worst defensive line. Now, I want to go back over this, Mike, because last year we finished 24th in total rushing as far as teams rushing the ball against us. We were not a good run-stop defense. That's
true. Were we the second best pass and pass rush?
We were. 58 sacks.
Second most sacks in the league, right?
So that's the thing that's bugging Falcon fans. Like, wait a minute, our D-line was actually really good. We were much better than people expected. We lost David Onyemata. We lost We traded Rukororo. Right. Kentavious Street, all these guys are gone. Brandon Dorlus, Mike, 27 tackles, 15 solos, 8.5 sacks from Brandon Dorlus last year.
And missed some games, too, and so you need to get the full season. We talked about Jalen Walker, 5.5 sacks with, I did the math when you were off, it was like something like 1,100 snaps for Caden Ellis and just like 430 for Jalen Walker.
Big
so
deal.
Jalen Walker is going to have an expanded role, especially if James Pierce Jr. is suspended or whatever. But I just think regardless, Jalen Walker is going to shine this year, and he's going to be a breakthrough guy.
Well, he said today, words can't explain my excitement for this year. Okay.
Auburn's going to be using it early and often.
Yeah, no doubt. I think this is outrageous. I'll be honest with you. And this is not me being a homer.
Yeah, you know, as I said, this kind of clickbait stuff, bro, that goes down between now and when the camps start, what's the agenda? What metrics are you using? How can you have the second most sacks and have the second, I mean, have
the worst defensive line?
Now, again, you just mentioned some of the guys that left, but I think the youth movement is what was powering some of those numbers last year.
Well, and look, Zach.
No, but again, if you want to say, well, you got 10.5 sacks, just walked out your building because James Pierce Jr., you don't have any, don't know when he's coming back.
Yeah, but he's good. Okay, you're right. But so he'll be here.
That might be in the equation for why we're 24th.
All right, fine. No, we're 24th in allowing 126 yards per game last year. Right. That number is where we were. We were not top 10, top 15 against the run. Mm-hmm. I get that. All I'm saying is, I don't think we got the worst defensive line NFL.
No, I mean, you can't have the second most sacks in the league, even with a guy who's, again, he's not going to miss the entire season, and be the worst defensive line. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Now, we did have to get bigger with the run game. We do know that, and we do know that we have had teams run right at us, and we couldn't stop it. The Colts ran through us like poop through a goose. The 49ers did it, too. But now, we got a guy, and hopefully, Mason Smith, two ways, is going to be the piece that Rook wasn't. That this guy's a bigger body, and he's going to be able to be the plug in the middle.
Yeah, look, I think you exchange two guys. You hope they both work out new situations, right? Neither one was blowing the top off. That's where that's at.
I will. In his defense, Mason Smith had better players ahead of him.
He did.
As far as DT and that Jaguars line.
But you think about the guys that we went and picked up, right? The Chris Williams, and you're going, wait a minute, we did? Yeah, these are all these free agent moves that we talked about a couple of months ago that kind of got lost in the shuffle between that and the draft. And Mike's right. The Mason Smith move, the trade for Rook, that's one thing. But Chris Williams we signed. They went out and tried to address this, by the way, through linebacker signings and through defensive line free agency. I just don't know if we got difference makers. Is this D-line going to be better than it was last year? And are you solely going to base that on whether we get 58 sacks or not?
Well, that's just it. I mean, Deshaun Hand, Mason Smith, and then there's Antonio Thompson.
Draft pick.
You know, who's a rookie in the sixth rounder out of Washington who's bounced around schools and no one really says he does anything particularly well.
Right.
He's kind of a sum of its parts. Now, maybe we'll catch lightning in a bottle with this guy. This is the first Ian, Cunningham draft. But that's why when we went and did what we did and we picked up A.J. Terrell's brother, Avion, a lot of folks thought there were some really stud defensive tackles there. But they fit. But again, Avion was always ranked higher than those guys, so we took Avion.
Better player. Yeah. Overall, but we're going to take the best player available, and that's allegedly that's what they did, and I think they did do that. 404-726-0929 talking about this. It's just funny to see a reaction from Falcon fans. Like, hold up. I know y'all want to throw our name and a lot of stuff out here, but wait a minute. The D-line is not one of those areas. If you want to talk about our quarterback room right now being unsituated, great.
Right.
But, like, what we got out of our defense last year was completely unexpected.
No, I mean, this was a defense that, as we said, a year before with Jimmy Lake, it was lost in space. We couldn't stop anybody. We basically turned Bryce Young's career around single-handedly up in Carolina. And now you got a guy in Jeff Ulbrich who's the right man for the job. Now, is he head coach material? Not sure about that. But if he continues the trajectory of this thing, that might be something that happens for him. He's already been the interim for the Jets. But he does coach up the linebackers. The question is going to be the guys that we added who have had chances to be stars in this league but couldn't stay healthy for one reason or another or lost traction. Like, who is it? The kid, Christian Harris, from the Texans, you know, former Alabama linebacker. Mm-hmm. Is he going to pop for this team? And you, if he goes with Divine Diablo and really picks up, then you got something. Perkins, the kid out of LSU, was on track to be a superstar in the league before he blew his knee out at LSU. That's somebody that could maybe have a chance at this team.
Yeah, I think what, you know, again, there's a lot of redundancy, especially at linebacker. And I've told you guys this from the jump. Like, I'm looking at the linebacker room. I'm going, where, outside of Divine Diablo, where's the other dude? Who's, to Mike's point, right, where's the other guy? Now, you may get production across the board, Mike, from all these guys, but look, I don't expect J.D. Bertrand or even Troy Anderson. And by the way, the update on Troy Anderson today, coach said, still not a full go. And I'm like,
it's been a year and a half.
Yeah, but he said,
it's been 2 years practically.
And he goes, we're working through that.
Okay.
Mike, that's out there. Like, that's far out there.
I mean, I always felt they kept him around because they still owed him. So they restructured his deal because when you're on the pup list, you don't get paid, basically, right? So they restructured his deal because they had to pay him one way or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, look, I mean, we know what he can be when he's healthy, but it's so far removed from when the last time he was healthy, beating the Saints in 2024.
Yeah, it's just that's when I'm talking about this depth at linebacker. So, again.
And again, Samson Ebukam, Azeez Ojulari, Georgia fans know Azeez. Mm-hmm. You know, just trying to catch, you know, again, these guys are all on one-year prove-it deals, whether they stay here or not. So they will be motivated to kick some butt.
Let's hope so. Sometimes don't believe everything you read, especially if it's on the internet. 404-726-0929. We are a much better defensive line. We are not the worst. Can we improve in the run game? Yes, that's why they went and got bigger guys. That's what Mike was just talking about. They went and got a couple of guys that they feel like, from a size standpoint, is going to help, especially at that nose tackle position, Mike, which is right, something that, you know, we've talked about. Never really had that a while now.
And that, you know, I felt all the time about Grady. I thought Grady was a better piece in a 4-3 front, but because he's always going to get down the field, is he the big enough guy to be in a 3-man? I thought he was kind of miscast there, but part of the reason, you know, I think if you want to say why they think we are what we are and they're the worst run defense, we have got guys like Zach Harrison. If Zach Harrison was going to be a stud, he'd have popped by now. He's a role player. Yep. He's a rotational guy.
That's it.
You know, but that's where we're living.
All right, man. Coming up, Day-Day, what's on his mind. Also, we will get into what is a very interesting, I think, a developing story. I don't know if this is going to actually get passed, but it's worth talking about. And at 4 o'clock, Mike and I will dive into it because, again, when you talk about a bipartisan college sports bill that is just being proposed,
right,
and then the next thing you see is, all right, what's in it? And you see salary cap. Immediately, people start losing their minds.
Well, you and I were just talking off the air. If you have a salary cap, well, okay, now you have a CBA, and then you have a union, then you can go on strike. Then the players, that to me starts a situation that leads you down another road that maybe I think, you know, I don't think people intend to go down that road. Remember, it was years ago, I think, when the Ivy League school said they were going to make a union to go on strike.
Yeah.
I mean, and Northwestern was saying the same thing a couple of years ago. A lot of moving parts, but at least it's got to start somewhere. Yeah, right. It can be a giant block of granite, Carl. We can chisel it down and make it look what it's supposed to look like. But at least there's somebody's trying, right? And again, you got a Democrat and a Republican working together in Senate, so hopefully that can get something cooking.
Yeah, look, I'm all for the betterment of the sport, but at the end of the day, right now, you're not limiting these athletes to the amount of money they can make, and you're going to tell me that even if without a collective bargaining agreement, Mike, that these kids right now are going to say, wait a minute, I can only make. Well, why is that?
Right.
I got friends on social media who are making way more than I am doing all these crazy things. Why is there a limit on what I'm doing? So I think that's a battle. That's the only reason why I bring that up.
No, that's going to be a lawsuit. That's going to be – you'll have Ed O'Bannon 2.0, right? And there you go again. But at least they're trying to get things wrong. The other thing, which is kind of funny, a lot of moving parts, a lot of nuts and bolts, is pooling the TV money. Okay. I'm the ACC. I've already got a crappy TV contract. Why am I going to pool my TV resources with the rest of the 138 schools? No way. And then, you know, they're saying that they could get to this threshold of 75%. It's, again, I'll explain it all at 4. But why would the Big Ten and the SEC ever sign off on sharing their money when they generate the most ratings?
There's a lot in here. There really is. And again, this is part of the problem when you start going into the minutia of these bills sometimes. And you start seeing the fine print. And there's a lot of stuff in here. We'll go over it, but it's interesting because, again, to Mike's point, maybe it starts the momentum that maybe is needed to get eventually something done down the road for college football. All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, by the way, we will talk to Grant. We had one of our listeners say, hey, fellas, I heard you guys talking about Kim earlier.
Yeah.
Ed says, fellas, Mike was talking about the fact that he didn't have spring training. Grant mentioned it earlier today. I heard him say it, that, you know, he really didn't have a feel when he was missing all that time in spring training. He's 4-for-38. I haven't seen him hit a ball hard.
No,
that's
not
what
at all.
Ed said.
No, I mean, he's basically like a guaranteed out when he gets to the dish, and he's been very sloppy. I mean, there's two games where they didn't call errors on him that they should have. And so it just, it's a 20. Are you ate the Aaron Bummer contract? Are you prepared to eat the Ha'Sawn Kim? Because how do you, you know, if you, right now you're in a great position. You know where the record is. You know where you sit with the rest of the division. But Ha'Sawn Kim needs to produce. Yeah. He was cut. Remember, he was out there on the float. That's how they got him last year.
Mike, they got,
he might be washed.
They got money back in this Profar deal, too, though. It's
true
not,
that.
It's not,
right.
It's not like the
They're
Braves.
They're not paying him.
No. You got money back there. So they have options. All right. We'll find out what's on Day-Day's mind. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This Friday, get your weekend started at Twin Peaks, Kennesaw, with a special broadcast of Andy and Randy. They'll be broadcasting live from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., enjoying all of the eats, drinks, scenic views of Twin Peaks, while also getting you ready for the big weekend of baseball, basketball playoffs. That's Andy and Randy, guys, 11 to 2 at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Mike and I also have another staycation comfort giveaway today from Reliable Heating and Air, which includes a $150 gas card, $150 grocery gift card, and a free cooling system tune-up, all compliments of Reliable Heating and Air. So stay tuned. We'll give that away sometime between now and 6 o'clock. Before we find out what's on Day-Day's mind, if you're just joining us, a couple of things going on. One, Ansi Saleh, Mike, the general manager, now gets a promotion and a nice contract extension for the Hawks.
Yeah, and he's now like the grand poobah of basketball. He added some titles to his business card, so he's got that. This is after they denied the Sixers' request to talk to him last week. And, you know, get your hands off my general manager. Mm-hmm. Like where he's gone with this team. But as Carl and I said, still arguably the most compelling offseason in decades for the squad, because you finally got back into the playoffs. How are you going to stay there? What's this team going to look like? Are you going to do it exclusively through the draft? How are you going to spend your money? Who's staying off this roster? Who's going to go? But Ansi, I think you, compared to Landry Fields, who was such a, I'll say it, dilettante, now you got a guy that really gets it. So I'm really excited about this and think it's a good move by the Hawks.
Yeah, so do I. And it for me, it's beyond just last year. I think he stepped into a situation that may have gotten any other general manager fired. Mm. Do I trade Trey or not?
Right.
That's what he stepped
Having
into.
Having the courage of his conviction. Look, again, right. Only time will tell where the franchise goes. And you guys, the Trey heads, like, we wish him well. It wasn't happening here. And we never. Why do I have to explain all that? It's like I have to be like, hold on. I'm talking about Trey. Let me do the Trey preamble so I don't trigger the Trey fans. Things that were beyond his control, moves that the team made, this and that, things that were in his control. Either way, I'm excited about where we're going. We just got to fix. Please, yeah. Trey. Just got to get Jalen Johnson to be a killer.
Well, we'll see. But this is a good. This is a good move by the Hawks and keeping the front office. Look, you want stability. I just think, Mike, once you get good, it's hard. It's hard to stay there. And right now, the expectation is not the Hawks being a play-in team again next year. The expectation is top four. And then can we get out of this round that we just got into?
Right.
Those are now you're elevating the expectations. But congratulations to Ansi Saleh. More on that coming up right now. Day-Day, what is on your mind, man? Happy long Memorial Day weekend for you.
Yeah, man. It was a good time. Quick little trip down to Destin. I was kind of getting my fandom on. Or I thought I'd get my fandom on because, you know, we were actually in the same area where the SEC spring meetings were. So, you know.
Were a lot of folks down there. Alabama!
Well, none of that.
No?
none of that. But it was crowded. We've been to Destin or the Sandestin Resort area many times, and this was the first time we'd ever gone Memorial Day weekend.
Crazy, right?
Walked on the beach and was just like, whoa.
Where all these people come from?
Yeah, this is a lot of people. So I had a good time, but yeah, I was trying to be more of a fan, and I was like, I wonder if I'll see Kirby.
Hey, Coach, at Day-Day, I think you are an elite beach-goer.
Yeah. Just drop Rusty's name, man. You'll be good to go.
Yeah, Rusty's got more juice than Mother Goose, man.
Man, listen, tell me about it, man. I walked into a high school football game at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and Rusty walked in one time.
Yeah.
And I promise you, it was like a magical red carpet just came out of nowhere as he walked along the sidelines.
Look,
like, everybody was stopping Rusty.
So since you said that, when I was on vacation, we run into a couple And they just happened to be from Rome, Georgia. And I said, oh, wow, we're in Atlanta. Oh, really? And we get to talking. And then I said, yeah, you know, a buddy of mine is from up that way. I said, I think he's kind of a legend.
Yeah.
And I said, do you guys know? And I said, Rusty. And they said, Manziel. Right. Yeah, we know Rusty. Yeah. So to your point. Mayor. To your point, I'm thousands of miles away, random place, and I meet some couple from Rome, and they're like, yeah, we know Rusty. But, yeah, you're absolutely right, man.
Yeah, man. All right, speaking of high school, man, everything's wrapping up. Today, actually, underway right now, the Georgia High School Association 6A Baseball State Championship. And after that, it's all done for all the high school sports. But just wanted to give a shout-out to the Loganville Red Devils and Coach Brand Mills. He'll be on the show tonight for Prep Sports Nation. They won last night, a thriller. Unfortunately, the weather yesterday so wonky, their game ended up taking like 5 hours or something like that just because of all the delays. But this was their seventh state title since 2017.
That's impressive.
So just wanted to congratulate him. And then congratulations to Todd Harris, Coach Todd Harris from Kale. He'll also be on the show. Kale won their first state title in program history on the baseball side. So just wanted to throw those out there, shout them out, and congratulations to everyone just on a phenomenal high school season, whether you won or not. Just still, it's great to be able to watch all of you student athletes, coaches, your communities go out there and do your thing. And so, yeah, man, high school sports will be officially over after today, man.
Yeah, and then we got graduation, right? And then we start talking
some
about—
some graduations have already happened.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then Corky Kill, right? We're talking about Corky Kill in August.
Meanwhile, as basketball season wrapped up months ago, you got AAU doing their thing. We'll get into it in Guy Talk. You saw the Kendrick Perkins video that went viral where apparently some kids were roughing up his kids in a game, and next thing you know, he's jawing. That's Kendrick Perkins we're talking about, man. That's going to take five guys to get him down.
That's a big dude. Yeah. All right, speaking of Georgia and Kirby, man, Georgia's already ahead of the curve, guys. You guys talked about Greg Sankey, one of his comments yesterday about the cupcake games being out the window, and that second to last week regular season game will be a conference game. Well, I don't know if anybody's already realized this. Georgia's playing 9 straight conference games before they play Tech. So they're already ahead of the curve on this in the sense of toughening things up, getting ready for what could be. But my question to you guys is this. If they're already in the midst of playing these 9 straight conference games before they get into that Georgia Tech, the good old-fashioned hate, is it beneficial for them to want expansion, whether it's 16 or 24, so that Georgia Tech game remains? Because if you stay at 12, do you really want to be playing Georgia Tech after you just ran through 9 conference games?
No, that's why Mike Griffith, Carl, said we're going to lose this game eventually. Clean old-fashioned hate's going to hopefully not be a casualty, but if you are going to play, and if Georgia Tech continues to, you know, if Brent Key continues the trajectory for Tech, and they're a good opponent, and they've played Georgia close so far since Brent's been the head coach, then why? Well, okay, let's just say you play Miss State, or even if take a lesser, who's perceived as a lesser opponent, you know, in the SEC, and there's not many, you know. You play Clark Lee and Vanderbilt, right, and then you got to go play Georgia Tech. That's not exactly that's tough. That's why we're in this conundrum now, where you look at the Big Ten. The Big Ten plays nobody out of conference. Once this Texas-Ohio State's over, their out-of-conference schedule goes to nothing.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and like I said, that's what I was looking at. I was like, only way you keep this game is if you expand. Because if you're right. If you're Georgia, you're not wanting to turn around and play a Georgia Tech team that's going to be just as competitive because 9 times out of 10, maybe they're in the mix on the ACC side as far as trying to punch their ticket into the playoff, the CFP. So, yeah, I think it's benefits that the game benefits if CFP expands to 16 or 24, whatever the expansion is.
Yeah, look, the expansion is going to happen. The argument is the number, right? Mm-hmm. That's the argument. And you've got, you know, I said yesterday, Day-Day, you know, Sankey's got 10 toes down. He's standing hard on where they're at, not wanting to move and wanting more information and all the stuff he's saying. I'm not saying he's wrong, but it's going to happen. Like you've got everybody in the room going, we're ready to move on this. And the one guy right now, at least Greg Sankey, and even his coaches are mixed on where this is going to go and how this is going to look. But like I said, when I read that Mike Elko cut earlier or that soundbite where he was talking about, you know, the preservation of ourselves versus what's best for the conference and what's best for your school, at the end of the day, you know, these coaches shouldn't be worried about expanding just because that's going to save their job.
Right.
But the interesting thing about this, and we'll get more into this coming up in the Dog Report, is it's always been, you know, the SEC, it means more, and everybody's on point. Take it all the way back, Carl, to Roy Kramer was the commissioner. And it just seems like Sankey's like losing some of these guys in the room. When you hear people come out and say, well, we were sold it's a 9-game conference schedule because you're going to have a 16-game playoff. Right. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, the Big Ten's probably going, look at this. We got a little bit of a rebellion going on in the SEC. The commissioner's losing traction with his own people because the SEC was told by ESPN, no, 16. Remember the scene in Something About Mary? 6-minute abs. No. It's 5-minute abs. But anyway, in the case of the SEC, they thought that ESPN, with all the leverage that they bring, 16 is going to be the spot. I think that's where Sankey started this whole conversation. And then the Big Ten just seems like they've done a giant bypass on everybody, and they're taking everybody with them for 24.
Well, and here's the thing. They're making the most money. Their contract is better right now than the SEC, and that's part of that expansion when you got those schools from the West Coast, Mike, and Oregon and USC. So, yeah, they're flexing a little bit. That's what's happening here. Either way, this schedule that Georgia has, this upcoming season, forget about 27.
Right.
It's challenging.
Right.
It just is.
All right, guys. I don't know if you guys saw this last night during the game between the Spurs and the Thunder, but it looks as if Victor Wembanyama, when all the starters were getting pulled and, you know, bench players were coming in, and you see Mason Plumlee and Bismack Biyombo come in, and you see
who?
Stop it.
Are you serious? Again, these guys checking in. There's violence about to happen.
It's garbage time.
Violence is about to happen.
It's funny you say that. You
dude,
see Victor
Wembanyama. 6 fouls and 2 minutes to play. Right.
You see Victor Wembanyama whisper in there in Biyombo's ear.
Who?
And
Biyombo.
Next thing you know, you see Jared McCain take 2 hard fouls, get fouled hard by, but once by Plumlee and once by Bismack.
How many minutes have these guys played all year? Is my question.
Yes,
right. That's my question.
Right. Well, here's what Jared had to say about the fouls.
Yeah, that was crazy. I didn't expect it. Obviously, we were at the free throw line too, and I was like, "Why'd you do that, man?" I'm just asking a question, and he was like, "I got another one for you too." I'm like, "All right, man, let me to the corner real quick. Let's finish this game out." But you know, it's all in competition, so gotta respect it. But definitely wasn't aware that my team told me after, like, just get to the corner at the end of the game like that.
That's great.
But I gotta admit though, I know it's speculation, but how about Wimby?
You
right?
Think he told him?
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey.
You think he told him?
I mean, it's very like, you know.
What do you think Wimby said? Get him. If you don't foul him, don't get on the bus.
Right. Listen, Wimby was very animated last night.
Yeah,
so,
he was. He was.
That's hit the media afterwards, too.
I just, I would only, the only question I present, Mike, is, again, how many minutes does Biyombo and Plumlee play prior to last night? That's my question.
Well, maybe that was Wimby. Hey. Maybe Wimby signaled over to coach like, hey, it's time.
Well, it's all hands on deck. Yeah, it's go time. Hey, look, this whole situation Carl brought up earlier, that Wimby did show his ass by not talking to the media last night.
Bro.
And he's a great young man, and he says all the right things. And I defended him with the elbow, because if the refs aren't going to, you know, take care of you, you do have to your point, take your hands, you know, take the game in your own hands and throw some elbows. But you can't not talk to the media. And Adam Silver, dude, have some balls, for God's sakes, man. Is this guy capable of making any decisions?
Well, he's changing things, Mike.
Yeah. Don't you see that beautiful quote during the in-season tournament?
19 minutes Bismack has played these playoffs.
Nice.
19 minutes.
Come on, man. You knew something was up when he checked in.
Yeah.
You better watch your back. Yeah. As soon as you hear the buzzer.
Right.
Get him.
Who's coming in here?
All right, last thing on a fun note. While in Destin, man, me and the family actually went and saw The Mandalorian and Grogu.
What'd you think?
I'm not going to lie, because I love Star Wars. I wouldn't rank this in
my
top five.
Start.
It's not going to be in my top five.
Okay.
But
entertaining?
It was entertaining.
All right.
I'll leave it at that. It was entertaining, okay. But it does not crack the top five as far as Star Wars.
Do you have to watch any of the Disney shows that have aired previously to know this?
You do not have to watch any of the Disney shows. Now, me being a Star Wars fan, my disappointment probably was because I know where Filoni and Favreau are going with the Thrawn, bringing in Thrawn, Ahsoka, and there was no tie-in. to like what's to come. So that's probably where I was disappointed.
So you two entrenched.
I know.
Yeah, but by the way, of all the nerds that have read reviews of this, Carl, that's,
hey, watch
that
your
seems,
mouth.
Sorry, nerd. That seems, and Carl's a big Star Wars fan. We all are, but that seems to be the common thread. They don't like that thing that, whatever he just talked about.
Yeah, I, obviously being gone, I did not get a chance to see it. It came out, what, Memorial Day weekend,
Memorial Day,
right?
Like that Thursday, yeah.
So, and I will, because to your point, the fandom of being, you know, I do want to go see it. And I love The Mandalorian on Disney, right?
Yeah.
It was great, but. Okay, that I wanted to hear your review. I did not know if you took the boys.
It's very entertaining. They loved it.
Go outside,
even if,
nerd.
Stop it.
Very entertaining.
I will wear that proudly. But again, my nerdism is I was just mad because they didn't tie in what I know
is
to come.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You were waiting on that.
Yeah, I was.
Three movies did it.
I know.
Lowest opening weekend, by the way, lowest.
Nobody mass. Asked you to.
Lowest opening weekend for a Disney-era Star Wars movie.
It's one of those
because
movies that makes
Disney
stuff.
Has ruined Star Wars.
Listen, you are a rotten mic.
Wow.
No one needs the rotten mic reviews.
It is the lowest opening Star Wars era since Solo, okay. A Star Wars story.
Well, I'll admit
also
this.
Also a fun movie, not in the top five, but a fun movie to watch.
But, and is, I will say, I understand that because people have been disappointed. But I implore people to give what Filoni and Favreau are doing a chance.
Okay.
Give him a chance. Go ahead. It's coming.
Yeah.
Well, you see, Rogue One kind of set the standard, though, for standalone Star Wars films.
Right. And it's the best.
And everyone wants to kind of have that be like, oh, it needs to be like Rogue One.
Not when you're setting up future things to come. That's the problem. Rogue One can stand alone because of what it was.
They're setting up all the franchises. You buy a little Baby Yodas.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt about it. That thing is selling off.
Get to Burger King and get your Baby Yoda cup.
His name is Grogu.
Yeah. Whatever.
We got one at the house now. Franklin just kind of rolls it around. It's a remote control, so he just kind of rolls it around and scares his little brother
with
it. It's got wheels on it. Yeah, he like moves his arms and squeaks and it's
nice.
Fun. Yeah.
By the way, they're bringing back the original Star Wars from 1977, original cut, not the extras Lucas put in there on the reissue.
Yeah,
they're going to bring that theatrically.
You know what? And I'm glad you brought that up. The theater we went to, they had the original Return of the Jedi poster, which was Revenge of the Jedi,
but they
changed the name last minute because Empire they felt Strikes Revenge Back. Was too dark side.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's great, man. Did you steal it?
I wanted to.
I know you did. I know you did, because you don't see those.
You don't.
Hey, man, great job, Day-Day. Coming up, Mike tries to explain to us what this Protect College Sports Act is. Mm. If you are a college football fan, you want to stay right there.